Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, episode 278, Strange World, Yukon Cornelius.
Welcome to the Animation Addicts Podcast with the Rotoscopers, the number one place to get your animation fix with animation addicts just like you. Each episode, we dive into the wonderful world of animation featuring Disney, DreamWorks, Pixar, and everything in between. From hilarious discussions and movie reviews to interviews with industry insiders, this show's mission is to brighten your day through our love of animation. So hop on your nerdy couch, grab some snacks, and get ready to hang out with your animation besties because it's time to dive into today's episode.
Hey there, animation addicts. I'm Morgan Stradley.
And I'm Chelsea Robson.
And we are coming at you straight from the theater in Chelsea's car. This is our car review, car time. We just saw Disney's Strange World.
We did indeed. First off, Morgan, how do you like my car? Is it nice?
It's nice, and it's very toasty right now, which I very much appreciate.
I mean, okay, so it's like 66 degrees outside.
Hence the heater's on, full blast.
Exactly, because I cannot take the cold. We were walking literally from the theater to my car, and I'm like shivering over here.
Yes.
Because I don't have my trusty jacket on, and so I'm like, crap, I forgot. I'm
surprised we don't have a blanket back here.
I know, I really should. I really should get on that. Well, here we go. The things we do for you to be able to get this episode out as soon as possible. Here we are.
And we don't do this very much where we go and see the new releases simply because there's so many. We kind of pick and choose for the podcast which ones we're going to do. And sometimes Chelsea will go see one. I will be unable to attend. And so, you know, we'll see it at a different point and review it on the podcast and then do our traditional podcast via Zoom. But here we are together, which
also doesn't happen very often.
No, yeah. And so, you know, we don't have a lot of time to really digest the movie. This is our first thoughts, basically review as it comes. Chelsea and I, as the credits were rolling, were withholding, trying to hold back from talking because it's like, save it for the podcast, save it for the podcast, save it for the podcast.
But completely impossible to do because just over here like, meh. I have this comment and I can't keep it in.
So with that, we'll have you wait one more second. Save it for the podcast.
It for the podcast.
We'll see you right after this.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Prepare yourself for a journey beyond what is possible. Walt Disney Animation Studios proudly presents Strange World, a new motion picture event.
Brace yourself!
Travel past space and time to a place of infinite mystery, unlike anything you've ever seen.
Where in the world are we? What in the...
way over our heads. I'm not an explorer. I'm a farmer.
Want to back out? This is the time to do it.
Really?
No! Messing with you. Come on. Let's make history.
All right. So Strange World. This movie is produced by Walt Disney Animation Studios. The director, Don Hall. Aw, Don. We love him. He's the greatest. The release date, November 23rd, 2022. Fresh, hot off the presses. Mm-hmm. Budget, not posted at this point in time. I'd imagine it'd be anywhere in the
200-150 million
range is what I would say.
I mean, most of the ones over the last while
Pixar,
have been...
The Pixar ones really? Were 150 to 200 over the past decade.
Uh-huh.
But I don't recall what, you know... But I imagine it's similar.
Yeah, yeah.
And as far as box office, we don't know. We will
yet to be seen.
Yes, we will see how this one does. Now, this one is being released to theaters, which I'm very, very happy about. You know me, gotta get that budget back.
And I know.
To me, I just don't see. Well, especially with news coming out for the different streaming services and cuts that are happening, it's like, oh, you're telling us what we learned from Netflix. That model isn't necessarily working. Where you just dump a whole bunch of money into it, and you're in the red forever. Yeah, I could have told you that. Hire me, Disney.
Hire me, Disney.
Anyways, we're not here to talk about Morgan's rant on streaming services. Instead, we're here to talk about Strange World. So,
it is a strange, strange world we live in.
Yes. You know, I always was mixing up the name of this movie leading up to it. I was always kind of like Stranger World or and it's the Stranger Things effect, I think.
Right, yeah.
Where I feel like Stranger Things just really has the market on those, just the word strange. So that's fine. Eventually I got around to it and I started calling it by the proper title.
Uh-huh.
I just think the title is a weird title for me.
You know, this was a weird, it was a weird movie coming into it. The first trailer I saw, it was like, I don't know what I'm watching. Mm-hmm. I don't really know what the plot is. It just shows like a conglomerate of a whole bunch of scenes. And most of it revolved around the Splat character, mm-hmm. the blue thingamajig. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember sending you, I was telling Morgan, most of the services that I use, I pay for the premium. So I don't get commercials.
She's fancy like that.
I hate commercials so much. And I get it. I never get commercials on YouTube. I never get commercials. The only thing, only place I ever get it is on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And so this one popped up and I was really confused because it didn't seem like a Disney film, mm-hmm. like just from the view of it. And so I sent it to you and I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't even understand. Like, because it just didn't seem very catchy.
Yes.
So all of us already, I'm not sure how well this is going to do in theaters because I don't know if people are going to see the trailer and be like, that's going to be amazing.
Oh yeah. Instantly within the very beginning, you know, from what I saw in the trailer and the promotional materials and the first 15 minutes, it doesn't align to anything that I saw in the promotional materials at
all.
We eventually get there.
Right.
But I'm like, oh, this is a totally different movie than what I was going and expecting. And even then, what I was going in expecting, I wasn't sure because I thought that the trailers were really, really confusing. Like the world that they were presenting didn't make sense to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand what this strange world is. And I get that's kind of the point.
Right.
But it just didn't feel grounded in reality in any way. Like with Avatar, you're going into space. Right.
Yes. Okay.
And so
I'm already able to suspend disbelief.
Yes, exactly. Like it's a different planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, so then we're thrown into this world and it's like, is it a different planet? But it's not. They really kind of make it like it's Earth.
Right.
In a way. So that was my initial, I'm right with you. So we are spot on with how we felt going into it, which was confused, not really sure what this would be. And I'll be honest, like based on the trailer, I probably wouldn't have gone and seen it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have felt like, oh, this is the next Disney thing that I got to see.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah. So already I'm not going to have, I don't have high expectations for the block, that this is going to be any kind of a blockbuster, even outside of the fact that this is post-pandemic. Some people are wanting to go, some people aren't. I will say, though, that going in, well, first off, they updated the new
intro. Oh, yes. Yes, I feel like that's...
That is something I want to talk about.
I didn't see Wakanda Forever, so I don't know if this is the first movie that had it, or if maybe that one or previous ones. So I'm going to have to look up to see when this new logo dropped, because I specifically remember the formerly newest iteration of the logo, you know, the 3D one with, you know, the castle. And
it was over the river.
It was over the second Pirates of the Caribbean movie. Yeah. I remember seeing it at midnight and being blown away that, oh my gosh, we have a new logo. And this one came on and I'm like, oh, we are in a new era.
They finally decided
to update it.
Uh-huh.
It's even more intricate and involved than the other one. And then we got some Easter eggs.
Yeah.
We have Pride Rock in the background and Matterhorn.
Matterhorn I saw on the other side.
And maybe some lanterns in the water, which is kind of tangled. So lots of things to go back and watch for future to see all the Easter eggs in that. But that got me more excited.
See, that I was like, oh.
Also, the fact that there wasn't a short, I was very, very like, you know, I'm ready to go to bed. So I don't need another, you know, 15, 20 minutes padded to my time. So yeah, I love shorts, but just today, I didn't need a short.
Well, yeah. So it like goes up this waterfall thing, and then you have the castle itself turns from like a metal looking thing into the Cinderella's castle from the parks, and it just really looked like it. So I really liked that. I thought it was cool. And then it just goes straight into this theme song for a comic book that I'm reading, which is first kind of weird, because I was like, okay, is this supposed to be... Generally, when they started out with a different intro like that, it kind of sets the stage of who the audience is.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to be people just reading a comic book.
Uh-huh.
And that's what this is.
Right. And these are the heroes. These are the stars.
Yeah. And so I really liked the theme songs that they gave the Clades.
Yes.
And it was just like, I'm into this. I can get this.
Yeah. So when I was watching the trailers, you know, and I was trying to piece together what is this, I kind of got Atlantis vibes mixed with Avatar and a little, especially with this opening scene, you know, you get like Raiders of the Lost Ark, and you sort of get in Disneyland, if you've ever been in the queue for Disneyland, they have this old school reel footage being like, the temple of the golden, the forbidden eye.
For sure.
And it's just like this old timey 1920s sort of guy with the old movie reels.
Right.
And it really set a vibe for something
on film that's kind of grainy.
Yes, exactly. So that going in, you know, this first opening scene, I thought it did a really good job of presenting the characters. And then immediately you're getting into the conflict of the father and the son, because you're saying that the son is not the big, buff, strong guy. Mm-hmm, you know, he's not as adventurous. He's not a replica of his dad.
Yeah.
He's a little bit more timid. And they show this in these different comic book things where he's like, you know,
and it's funny. Like, they did a good job with that.
And then we go into the scene where they are exploring it again, you know, because he's about so we have Jaeger, right? Was that the dad? I thought it was Jaeger, Jaeger Clyde, but it's Jaeger.
Oh, okay.
And then
maybe that's just spelled with.
No, I looked it up. It was, the voice cast was Jaeger Clyde. And then his son, at the time of this beginning part, he's 15, Searcher Clyde. Just quite a name.
Yes.
And they're on an adventure with, you know, three other random people.
Right. We're one of those later on, the wife?
The president, not the wife.
Okay.
Who ultimately becomes the president of the city, town, nation? Callisto was her name. A younger version of her. So, and then we get into more conflict where the dad wants to keep pushing forward.
Uh-huh.
We see how he's just so perfect in his role. Everything, this comic book hero adventurer, you know, saving the day, jumping off the cliff to save the son.
Yeah.
And then ultimately the son is holding back saying, hey, wait, you know, what about this plant? You know, I thought it was interesting. Like right at the beginning, he's like, oh, it has its own energy source. I'm like, how can you tell that though? Just because it electrocutes you there? Trust me, there are lots of other things that can electrocute you, but I wouldn't call a jellyfish
having its own
energy source.
Yeah.
It could just be, you know, the fluorescence.
Yeah.
But he was right on with that call. And ultimately, the different explorers side with him and say, hey, you know, we got to take the benefit to society now instead of going forward for our own ego and, you know, check off our list as far as what we're going to do.
Was that what you got out of that? I thought it was more like, yeah, we might as well just stop now.
Oh, no, I got it. It's like, we need to do this for the benefit of humanity.
Okay.
We should go forward, sure, but this can benefit society. Therefore, we must stop our personal ambitions, you know, for the greater good, really is kind of how I saw that. Okay.
Yeah, I just saw it as like, well, I knew that he was like, oh my gosh, look at this thing.
Yeah.
Let's do that. But then the rest of them, it was kind of just like,
ah, he's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
all right. We're a bit traumatized after what's happened.
Right.
And, you know, we're only 10 minutes into this.
So. Right, exactly. So they end up taking this plant down off the mountainside.
Yes.
And at this point in time, there's this big fight between the dad and the son, and they decide, and the dad decides, I'm just going to keep going. And he hands him his what is it called?
The
compass. Yeah. So he hands him his compass and he's like, you're going to need this to find your way home. I thought they were going to do something with that as far as like,
yes.
Like, this is coming back to me home,
use it to find him.
Cause it had the picture of the family in there.
Yes.
So I could tell that they were going to do something about like, this is like unity of the family. Let you find your way back to us kind of thing. But it wasn't really shown. Like, what was the mom doing? Like, she was just kind of,
She was a non-entity.
Yeah.
The entire time.
Right. Right. Until the very, very end. Okay. That whole storyline, just,
we'll get there.
We will get there. Oh my goodness. So they end up going off and he goes off into the mist.
Yes. He gets mad and we never see him again. He doesn't turn back. There's no forgiveness, no moment. We're kind of going scene by scene with this, but high level concepts, you know, there's this theme of father and son, you know, and it's a father son story,
which I was glad that they did that, because I've been in other movies where they don't have like a personal, there's not a personal stakes involved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a character driven story. It's a action driven story. And when you're looking at the best stories, you want to know, you don't really care what happens. You care why it matters to that person. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, okay, good. We're actually creating some kind of a background of like emotional ties.
Yeah.
So I was glad about that.
And like Encanto, we have this generational family situation where we have the grandfather, the father, and the grandson, and we have the two different sets of familial relationships or paternal relationships between Jaeger and Searcher, and then Searcher and
Ethan,
and how they kind of mirror each other in different ways. And so, you know, we fast forward 25 years, which is a significant amount of time.
Yeah.
And I just thought it was interesting, like looking back now that I've seen the movie, Searcher didn't seem to really care or miss or have any long-term ramifications from his dad being gone.
Right.
It's just all this resentment that he's held on. It was never like, you abandoned me or I miss you. Like, we weren't there for me.
Right.
You know, I feel like that kind of would have been a little bit more natural way to go. It was just, he was just so shut off to his dad throughout the whole time. He did not. And so when they had fights, it was like, I kind of felt Searcher was a total jerk.
Yeah.
Later on when they meet back up, because he's your dad, you know, and I understand that people do bad things and, you know, you don't necessarily have to forgive them always. But it just didn't feel realistic that it's like, oh, you know, dad went his way and I went my way and I never saw him again. And like, life's great.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing my own thing. I'm paving my own way. And maybe that is the case for a lot of people, you know? But from the story point, it just didn't seem like the natural path that the story would have gone. Or at least there should have been some sort of, I miss you, dad, you know, but
yeah,
like, it seems like their relationship.
You don't even know my wife. You don't know my son. We don't have that that connection there.
And I'm going to be comparing this back to a Goofy movie a lot, because I feel like
that was the other one. Yes.
It just does one of the greatest father-son transformations and kind of the road trip story and how they get there and how they're the conflict that they have. And with Goofy, you know, he kind of wants Max to be a version of him. Mm-hmm. And Max is so different, and it totally works in a Goofy movie, because Goofy is like literally a cartoon character. He's just so weird. And Max is kind of like this modern kid.
Yeah.
So you can really see the stark differences between the two, and how they, you know, when they're in the car at the very beginning of the movie and they're arguing over like, ha, hopes we've got, you know, that's what Goofy wants to listen to. And then Max wants to listen to like rock, you know, metal. They make it very clear the differences between the two. And in this one, it was like, well, you're an adventurer and I'm a farmer. And I understand, like, those are totally two different worlds.
Right. One wants to stay home and do their thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Internally.
Exactly.
And the other one is much more external driven.
So, yeah. So he's become like a celebrity or kind of a savior in the world, because he brought this energy source. And I'm like, oh man, here we go again. Yet another movie that's fighting over the energy source. How many superhero movies do we see where there's some sort of energy force that's going to either save the world or destroy the world,
exactly.
You know?
Right.
You know, and so here we, you know, as soon as this energy source is introduced, I'm like, okay, they're not just going to leave it at this.
No.
And they did not.
Oh, no. I'm just going to be right honest at the beginning. I feel like this movie was one of the most complete versions of propaganda that I've seen in a really long time. And it's just like, all you really needed was Captain Planet to come out.
For sure. At the very end. Literally heart.
I know.
At the end to get the heart beating again.
Heart.
Well, I thought at the end, you know, when the heart had died, essentially, you know, we needed to basically a defibrillator.
We need the energy source.
To bring it back. And, you know, it would have been so just classic, I guess, for, you know, the tears of the one who was the feeling. He literally, if you were to give Captain Planet powers to each one, Ethan was heart, you know, for him to be crying over the heart, and then his tear to go down and to like, you know,
I was
what?
Waiting for the tear.
Yes. The tear needed to come
and it didn't come.
And I was like, oh, it's so stereotypical. And like, I feel like I needed that.
Yes. It was such a missed moment.
I mean, so cheesy. Like, the critics would have just been like, oh, are you kidding me?
The fact that you didn't give us this, it means my heart broke right there.
Right.
Come on. You were so close. The fact that they're using this energy source. So basically it's like he's come in, he plants this energy source, as he would call it, which is like, okay, is this a message of
nuclear Brussels sprouts?
Right. Which goes back to our one conversation where we were like, our favorite vegetables, and Brussels sprouts really are my
king,
favorite.
One of the king of all vegetables, for sure.
They really are. So that's what made me laugh too. I was like, Morgan. But yeah, so at the very beginning, he's going through and he's picking up, you know, some of the Brussels sprouts. I'm like, oh, they're magic. Yay. Magic beans.
The magic beans. Yes. Don't sell them. Don't sell your cow for them.
Yes. But I guess these are now like little things of energy.
Literal balls of energy that they can
battery
just.
Type things.
Yes. Like batteries that they shove into everything and somehow also creates technology of, you know, planes that are able to fly without motors.
Cart and wagon at the very beginning. And that was actually a really funny gag I really liked, where he was trying to fix his wagon wheel and he's going about it and the horse just walks off. He's like, oh no.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I've been in that situation before where I'm just like, ah, crap, come back here.
Yeah. So great.
I was like, oh, I feel this.
I mean, the solution to the problem for the energy is is nuclear power. Let's be real.
Yeah.
The amount of nuclear waste for decades you can fit into basically a tin can.
Yeah.
And it's safe. It's reliable. Now, I think everyone looks at things like Chernobyl.
Right.
And now, you know, suddenly nuclear power is off the table. But it's like, okay, we're not going to do it like the Russians did it, okay?
I mean, it's Mr. Fission from, like, the Russians did it.
I was like, come on. We have power plants in the U.S., FYI.
Right, we do.
So, you know, that really is the solution. But for some reason, no one wants to go there. They want all these other ways.
Well, so I guess, like, the thing is, like, so over drilling is kind of something that they would be comparing
us to
in our days. And the fact that it's made our lives so much better, but we're going to sacrifice our lives for the heart of Mother
Tafiti,
Earth.
Basically. he's going back to, you know, he co-directed Moana. Uh-huh. He's like, well, and Raya the Last Dragon. So he's like, you know what? This Tafiti character, she was real great in Moana. Let's bring her back.
Right.
And you know what? In Raya the Last Dragon, he had at least extra character designs.
Yeah.
Like, bring him back.
That's what it felt like, too, when they were doing it at the credits at the end. They're like throwing up random creatures that were never part of the movie.
Yeah.
And it was like, where did these
None of these creatures had eyes. And then in the credits, they're showing these creatures that have like
looks
faces
like monsters
and monsters. Yeah, totally. And I'm like, what the, that was not what I saw. Okay. Going to character design. So overall, my thoughts for this film is very disjointed.
Uh-huh.
It was all over the place. And going to character design, I felt like the characters, there was two different sets of characters from two different, like, character design, mm-hmm. you know, philosophies. The first one was the Clade family,
mm-hmm.
and the, you know, also the new Clade family, where they had these big bulbous noses. They had these very cartoony eyes.
Uh-huh.
Jaeger specifically was so Chuck Jones, over mm-hmm. the top, squash and stretch. Very much, I felt like these were kind of like Genndy Tartakovsky characters.
Yeah.
Where it's just really overdone, especially with the eyes. Like, I felt like when I was looking at Searcher, he reminded me of the boyfriend from Hotel Transylvania.
Yes.
Like, a lot.
Yes, a lot.
Where I was like, wow, is Genndy Tartakovsky in the credits? Because he could have done your character design. So we have them. And that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have just like everyone else, random background characters who we don't really have names for. Just like if you notice when they went down into the body of the creature, like these background characters that were on the ship were never really around. They just pop in when mm-hmm. they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
Thought that was kind of annoying. But then the main one, girl, was the president of the town society, mm-hmm. Callisto. She was the one from the beginning adventure. And she was this other set of character designs that were more grounded in reality.
Yeah.
They had more realistic faces and, you know, based on different cultures that you could kind of tell that they weren't the cartoony versions.
Yeah.
And literally, I feel like Callisto...
She felt very Raya.
Totally Raya.
Yeah.
I was just like, you could have been the sister to the one girl with the shaved head from Raya.
Yeah.
Like,
I get you. Yeah.
And I didn't love that. I felt like it really took me apart. It felt like I was watching like just a mashup of maybe two different movies.
Uh-huh.
So that's that. It ultimately, like, they either needed to all be cartoony
uh-huh.
or all not. So I'm not sure why they chose one or the other. So,
leftover characters.
I don't know.
Leftover models that they already did.
I really liked this one. Okay.
Yeah. So you're looking at the relationships between everybody. Like
Meridian. Was that her name? Meridian? Yes, Meridian.
Yeah. And I
loved her.
Yeah,
I thought she was really great.
Me too. I thought it was classy and classic, the fact that they're like dancing and kissing or whatever, and mm-hmm. then the son is just like, ew, stop, and they're mm-hmm. like, but every teenage girl likes to see their parents.
Yes.
And I'll be honest, like, you say no, but you really do.
You'd rather have that than the other.
Yes. And so it's like, you just kind of
hating each other.
Exactly. I did like the, like, we're all sitting around dancing and like making dinner mm-hmm. thing. I thought it was weird though that she was leading.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, I noticed that. She was like the one spinning him and actually leading in dancing. I was like, okay.
Of course.
Whatever.
Well, then there was the one moment where Ethan was putting some like salt into the pan. And it was that, it's based off the meme where the guy's like sprinkling a little. Where he has his arm like tucked up like in the swan pose. Where you're like.
It's like biting.
Yes, yes. The biting swan. We all, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah. And he was sprinkling a little. I was like, oh yes, I caught that. So.
I caught that meme.
Yeah, you know, the family was great, and I really liked the dynamic that they had, and they're working together, you know, on the old farm.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to see in this society, farmers still are able to make a substantial living. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess when energy is what you're harvesting, you know, there's big money in energy. You know,
but, right.
Well, nowadays, the small family farmer is not a thing, and it's being corporatized, which is such a bummer.
It is. Except, so I used to work at a bank. And there was this guy that would come. I worked at the business side, so the business window. So this guy, he would drive in every single day, basically. And he had the most worn down pickup truck, you know, you can think of. Just like falling apart, basically, like these thing coming through. And he would deposit $10,000 every single day. Because it was like... A little known fact, maybe some people know, some people don't. If you do anything more than 10,000, you have to do a whole bunch of paperwork.
Yeah, yeah.
As far as cash goes. And so he learned that pretty quick. And so he found the number that he didn't have to do it. So he would,
good for him.
Yeah. So every day.
Government does not need to be in your business about your money.
Yeah, exactly. So he would just come in every single day and just like over time, like he would just be doing his deposits and whatnot. And as the teller, you're able to see what's in their account. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of money in that account.
Oh, yeah.
And it was so for somebody to say like, or to think that just because somebody is a farmer, that they are maybe less well off or they don't have things together or maybe less educated or whatever. And I'm just like, that's funny. Yeah. No, it's, but yeah, the fact that he's got this big old farm and he's basically the hero of the town.
He has a statue.
He's got a statue. His dad's got the statue. His is taller.
Yes. So,
because apparently that matters.
Yes.
Yeah. There was a lot of innuendos in this. There were a lot of innuendos. And so it goes into, and they actually show more of Ethan, the son, the grandson, you know, son eats grandson.
Yeah.
And he's got his crowd, his, what did they call him? His crew?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't
know. Yeah. I think that like the crew, cause that was the fight at the very beginning.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like, no, the crew does this. Nuh-uh. They're not talking about us. This is also touted as the first Disney film to have a same-sex attraction for a teenage.
A main character.
For a main character.
Yeah, because there's been other, you know, characters that are in the background.
Uh-huh.
Really subtle.
Yes.
But this one is not.
No, it's 100% there. And this is obviously not a thing that is second-guessed in
this
culture. From there, it's like...
Which part of me wondered when Jaeger, I have a problem with, I want to call him Jaeger or as I like to call him, Yukon Cornelius.
Ah, yes. Totally it's him. It's so 100% him.
Once you see that, you can't unsee it.
Oh my gosh. It is 100%.
I thought when Ethan was telling the grandpa that this was because of the generational shift and that it's been so long.
Yeah.
That it was going to create.
He's been like alone in like,
Exactly. Yeah,
where
we don't know.
How
society changes a lot in 25 years, but clearly, you know, that wasn't an issue at all. So I think they just didn't want to present this as being anything different or weird or something to second guess. It just is what it is.
Right. And so that's part of the commentary throughout the whole film.
It's always brought up.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's like some people I know are going to be so on board and be like, yes, this is my jam. This is everything that I need. And then there's going to be others that aren't. And so I'm really curious to see how it looks out as far as how the box office takes it.
Mm-hmm. This is definitely an older film, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, just like Seeing Red, not in the same way at all. Seeing Red just had period talk, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but this one, it's not even the gay relationship.
Uh-huh.
It's just that it's an older film. Like, yes. Well, I was thinking at the beginning, I'm like, would I take my kids to this? Because it's really kind of convoluted. Like, the storyline is hard to follow.
Right.
It's not that super funny or engaging or just...
Really,
you know,
it's just the creatures.
Yes.
That would be anyway.
I don't think my kids would like this. I think my kids would get bored.
Uh-huh.
Very, very quickly.
Because they can't really relate to the...
Right, you know, eventually the magic carpet comes in. Like,
right.
That scene.
That was the magic carpet. That is 100% what I thought, too.
Yes, he is carpet. And yes. I looked, and he was based off carpet. You know, Splat was the name of this blue character. But the moment where Ethan, you know, he falls into this pit, aka the Cave of Wonders.
Yeah.
He falls into the Cave of Wonders, and then he finds this creature. He's like, hey, little guy, come out. You
right,
know?
Exactly.
And he taunts him out, and he says, I'm not going to hurt you. You know, in Aladdin, he says
right.
that. But there's even the moment where he's like, oh, you... I'm looking for this lamp.
Right.
Exactly. And he shows the way, and it's the exact same thing with Splat.
Yes.
Splat's like, well, I'm looking for a way out of here. And he takes him off, you know. I'm like, wow, they just like ripped carpet's lines
yes,
from the movie.
They really did. Well, and the other thing, like later on, I was like, oh my gosh, it's from Aladdin and the King of Thieves. Where it's like,
you totally called it.
I totally did. So they, at the very end, they go out and they see that, oh, my goodness, it's been a creature we've been inside of. Like, so it's Mrs. Frizzle's, you know, class, yeah. magic school bus goes inside somebody, this creature's
yes.
digestive system. And they're like, oh, that's the heart. Oh, that's the mm-hmm. digestive system. That's this.
Right.
Oh, it's with the lungs.
I know.
That windy area. Oh, goodness. Buckle up, class. That's
exactly.
really what it was.
Right.
And then... But you go out at the very end and they go outside of the animal or the creature and it's like a giant eyeball. And all I could hear was Aladdin saying on the back of a giant turtle.
Aladdin, the King of Thieves reference for
oh
those who are
gosh.
Like, I don't remember that in Aladdin.
Like, honestly, that's all I could think of right then.
You know, and it really bothered me. They finally, after all this time, figured out a way to get past the mountains.
Right.
Right? And see what this is. And all we see two times is a giant eyeball.
Right.
A giant eyeball of what? I want to know.
Yeah.
You have enough energy. Please, can you zoom
yeah,
out
right.
a bit? Like, just 100 yards or
right,
even
right.
further? Like, an eyeball of what? This is very important to me. And we don't find out until the very
right.
end when they do the big zoom out. It's like the flat earthers in the audience are like, we were right. Told you.
I knew it. They've been hiding it this whole time.
I mean, flat earthers, I don't believe that we live on an earth that is a turtle, but I'm pretty sure that's
no,
not the case. So,
no, they don't,
so they are wrong on that.
So I've got to say this. While I was in Vegas 2 weeks ago, I was staying with a friend's mother-in-law, and then her mother-in-law had a roommate. And while I'm staying there, things just come up randomly, and it also came up that she believes the flat earth theory.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what? I respect
there are
it.
Dozens of us. Dozens.
Dozens. No, but like, I'm like, wow, I respect it because we've had so much evidence to the contrary that for you to really hold on to this,
right.
You know what? More power to you. People have, you know, governments lie. Sure. So if somebody there, I saw this
there's at the end of days, we're going to, the scroll of the earth is going to be unraveled and we're unrolled and we're like, oh my gosh, really?
We really were on a flat earth.
Yes. All the things that we've been lied to or
yes.
convinced of.
Right.
Yes.
Well,
it'll blow our minds.
It'll blow our minds. I mean, it was just amazing.
And then some were like, yeah, that person's totally wrong. I told you.
Oh, right. Exactly.
I told you, Phyllis.
So there was, I saw, side note, tangent time. I was, you know, scrolling through Instagram and there was a stand-up comedian that comes up and he's just like, no, I always respect the conspiracy theorists because, you know, governments have lied to us. There was a point in time when FDR was in office, no one knew that he couldn't walk. No
right,
one
right,
knew.
Right.
But you know, there was some uncle out there that was like, he can't walk, I tell you.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Like, oh, there he goes again.
Yep.
Talking
yep.
about how president can't walk, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, amazing.
Okay, so back to the movie.
Back to the movie.
Yes.
Because you all care
Our
about
double tangents, yes. So the other part was, he's a gamer. Ethan is not a video gamer.
He's a board gamer.
These are two very different groups. Mm-hmm. The game that he's into is kind of a Settlers of Catan slash Dungeons and Dragons combo.
Morgan is a board gamer.
I am. I'm one of the... Yes. Mm-hmm. Very proud of it. I was like, oh, I see the resemblance here. Yes. The inspiration. I love it.
So there were many times where I have another friend. We have a common friend who is also a board gamer. Mm-hmm. And every time, like, he'll tell me stories about how he'll go over to different people's houses and for a little, like, 12 hours be playing a specific game.
Oh, I've been a part of these. Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm impressed. Mm-hmm. That is an impressive commitment to that game. So congrats.
I mean, people wouldn't bat an eye if someone said they play a video game for 12 hours shooting whatever.
Right.
Or even just, and I played Zelda for 12
that's
hours.
That's just like moving like your thumbs, you know? This is like full body, like you're moving.
Right. I'm like, why is it such a weird thing that I'm in person with other people playing game? So what? Okay. At least I'm in the flesh.
Yes. All right. Good job.
But there
was a point in time where he starts playing the game with his dad and his grandpa.
Yeah.
And neither the dad or the grandpa can figure out how to win the game because, and he's the only one. And this was the other part that was like, okay, here's the message of the story. Yep. I like trees. We have to be able to live within the system. And that's the thing is, like, I have a very firm belief that we should be great stewards of what we have. And that idea of being able to live within the environment and use the environment well, mm-hmm, and also mm-hmm. not use things that aren't natural. Like, I like the fact that there are real, like, organic things. That was one of the things that you noticed too, is that whatever they're building, they're not organic farmers.
Oh, at the very beginning, there's dust cropping or crop dusting. At the very beginning, I was like, really? In 2020, we're promoting crop dusting? But it's because... it's forever stuck in 2020. Because it seems like there is a natural shift, especially in, you know, a lot of the health communities away from the pesticides. And we've realized, oh, this is actually really damaging for us. It causes cancer. And these big corporations have been making money off of it and they don't care that it's killing people, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And so I was like, really? I'm surprised that this crop dusting thing, that they included it. I'm fine either way. Like, it's like smoking in movies. Yes, we know smoking is bad. I don't care if someone is smoking in a movie. You know what I mean? I thought it was interesting. Like, okay, but it's because it was very clearly tied to a plot point to save the day later on.
Right.
Yeah.
I did respect her for being the flyer.
She had three things that were important to her.
Yes. And that was, and if she needs to fly her way in to save her family, to save the other two, I'm like, girlfriend, I like you.
Yeah, we needed her because, you know, we had this dispensable other pilot who literally is pulled out of the front glass.
Yeah.
And literally, he's dead.
Yeah.
You know, and we just yada yada that, you know, but he died.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, rest in peace.
Random guy that obviously was disposable, meant to die.
Well, because we needed to bring mom in.
Right, exactly.
You know, can have two pilots fighting for things. Because then at the end, when the mutiny happens, but I guess it wasn't really a mutiny because technically it was their ship. So
no, it was the president's ship.
Yeah, and so she was the one who kicked. They went against the family, the Clades.
Uh-huh.
So it wouldn't be a mutiny because mutiny was when your own people go against the leader.
Well, the leader would have seen her because she was the one that brought them on to the project.
Right.
So they mutinied against her.
No. She was with them at the beginning. Because she was like, sorry, for the good of humanity, we got to keep going. And then they locked them all in the closet.
Right.
Anyway, this is a moot point about mutiny.
Who was the mutineer?
But we'll call it a mutiny, whatever it is. You know, it wouldn't have worked out if it turns out, hey, well, we still have our pilots. So we really don't need her. But then she became extra necessary when no one could fly the pilot.
Right.
And
that random dude that was...
I didn't really love him. He was he was really over the top and just so unhelpful. I'm like, what does he provide? You know, he's like scared of everything. And just...
What is your job?
I don't know.
You had one job and that was to take care of the kid.
There were three or four background characters that just... And then at the very end when we're looking at the eye again, there's another kid. There's like a younger kid that was there. And I'm like, who are you? And where did you come from? I literally have never seen you. We've been hanging out with the rats in the bottom of the, I don't know. So
yeah, that was a weird thing. There are so many throwaway characters in this one. And as well as I mentioned in Lightyear, they always have this, like at the very beginning, they have random characters that you never see again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in Lightyear, you had this, the rookie that is literally there just to be dumb. And then you never see him again. And here you have the cartographer. I liked him. And I wish they would have brought him back because he was like, I'm a cartographer. That's why, that's what I've trained for. I'm like, no, 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 that's not your job.
Yeah.
I just feel like, why couldn't you have brought in those characters again? Like,
well, I think of Atlantis and that crew in Atlantis, very much you get to know every, there's the doctor, there's this person, she's this mechanic. Like they all have a purpose.
Right.
And even though they're kind of background characters, you know, as compared to Milo, they're there and they serve a purpose. But this one, it's, I get it because it's like, you don't want too many characters. And even when you look currently on IMDb, it only lists six characters. Mm-hmm. Now there are more than six characters when you look at the end of the credits. It's not a huge voice cast, but I mean, there were other people clearly that did these voices, but IMDb, since we're still seeing it before the movie comes out, hasn't fully updated as far as like total voice cast. But I don't know, I guess you just, hey, we have these random background characters that we literally, they serve no purpose other than, you know, occasionally popping in here and there. We're not going to spend time on them. Or do you build them out and make them more important to the plot? I mean, we didn't need anyone else. So I can't hate it, but it was just weird.
It was. And I feel it. So that's my main thing. It was like, why didn't they bring, you gave him a line at the beginning. Why didn't you just let him stay in the film? If you kept her in there, you might as well have kept other people.
Or combine them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We want to keep this a small mission. There's only four of us. Just like the beginning. You know, I don't know.
Right.
So let's talk about the actual world.
Okay.
Because this is really what they're highlighting in the trailers. And it's the most confusing part of the movie to me. The most unenjoyable part is when we
the
go
digestive system.
Yes And once you finally get it all at the end, you're like, oh, okay. I did sort of, when they had the trees that were, they look like the on your in your lungs, they basically look like little branches. And they were kind of breathing in and out, and I was like, oh, they look like those on the lungs, you know. But I didn't at that point make the connection, like maybe we're inside a body, because I thought we were inside, like it almost felt like we were inside of an ocean without the water. So I'm like, what is this? And then it has kind of like the color scheme of Pandora at times, with like the bright neons and the pinks and the purples. And I just really struggled in that world because I didn't know what it was. Because in the main world, it felt like a normal Earth. With, you know, this other element of the energy source, you know, then to like, oh, actually we have this subterranean world that's just totally crazy. That's fine. But it just, something just didn't click with me as far as the design of the world. Everything was weird. The animals I didn't love, none had eyes. And now I get why. They were supposed to represent, you know, like mitochondria and red blood cells and white blood cells and this and that, you know. Okay, cool. So are you telling me that the humans are basically like dust mites on the skin of this giant creature?
Yeah, that's basically what it feels like. Like, what's the creation story on this one? Like, okay. I mean, it's kind of like in, there's just so many movies that they like pulled from for this thing. So the
fact that you're pulling from.
That I'm pulling from. Yeah. I guess I just watch a lot of movies. You can only do so.
Well, there's no original ideas anymore.
Yeah, so. They're not. But it's kind of like in How the Grinch Stole Christmas with Jim Carrey, where they're like on the back of it or on a snowflake the entire time.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And
it's just like microcosm that you, your world is important, but then you step it back and oh my gosh.
Which, I mean, it's like, once again, it's the, you know, Captain Planet situation where they're trying to like, let you see Mother Earth has got this whole thing. It's paganism, but it's like, all right, on the back of a
Tafiti
on the back of a giant turtle.
That's our title.
Gotta be.
Well, maybe not. Cause it's like a huge spoiler.
It is a huge spoiler.
It's like literally the spoiler. That was my least favorite part of the movie. I don't know. I mean, but the majority of the movie is there. I just didn't, everything felt so random. You know, we got the animals walking around. We have this and we have that. And we have the, looks like sea anemones almost. And,
yeah.
Then Splat, whatever he was supposed to be. And then the creatures that were attacking, you know, now it makes sense what those are. But
yeah,
it's like, why are they attacking them?
Why are only those attacking? Mm-hmm. Why are these things the ones that build? And it's also you're showing, I know I can't think of anything, but the other name.
Yukon Cornelius.
Yeah, Yukon Cornelius coming in with his flamethrower. What is he using for
to
fuel?
Power that? I know. I mean, that thing should have ran out of gas or whatever eons ago.
I mean,
I thought the same thing.
What are you doing? How? That is the eternal flame.
Like, yes. I mean, that exactly. That is.
Why are we not like so excited about that? That is amazing. Yeah. So he's just like bulldozing everything that goes through. Oh, going back to the gamer thing, that when I'm sitting around playing the game, and there was the one part was like, so there's no enemy? Ugh, what kind of crap writing is this?
There were some self-referential.
Yeah.
The one where he's like, oh, merchandise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, yep.
That's exactly what we were going to do.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
We're going to sell plushies and squishy pillows out of this.
And they're going to, you know, the hand things that you can maybe squishy.
Yes, exactly.
Things. You're going to have lots of these around. I'm not sure if that's going to be worth it, though. It kind of feels like those GAC hands that get everywhere.
Which was so silly to me when they're trapped in the closet and they're like, how are we going to get out? We got to get the dog. Legend, come on.
Yeah.
They're trying to get teach him. And I'm like, you have this squishy thing that has shown many times that he can squish and flatten and stretch. And,
I know.
Hello.
Yeah. So Legend. If you're looking at the Oscars, they now have a set of rules in order to be nominated. You have to like have certain things. And one of those diversity quotas is somebody with some type of
disability.
Uh-huh. And so the fact I was like, ah, that's why the dog only has three arms. Just because they got to fill that quota. I don't know. I will say though, that I've seen a couple of the like three-legged dogs or like less than four-legged dogs on Instagram. And they're quite fun. They're cute.
They make it work.
They do. So the main themes of this is really just the father-son
mm-hmm.
dynamic.
Paving your own path.
Paving. And if you're looking at 100 years ago, everything was done father to son. Mm-hmm, and you learned the trade of the parents.
Yeah.
And so I can definitely see how as the trades in general got more developed,
right,
you have less need to be an apprentice to someone. Mm-hmm. And so it's like now everybody goes to college and they do their own thing and like it's they can do whatever. Like I grew up in a family business, so I know how that is and I know how the whole thing is, but it's just like I kind of feel sad though when the fact that they show that as being any type of a negative of like you can't force this on me. When it's like, I learned so many things through my parents' business.
Mm-hmm.
So many things. Hard work being the biggest, I would say. And also just the ability to do so many different things, different parts of the business. And so I feel sad because he now has a really great skill and he's probably going to be loaded. The fact that he's able to do all these things, but you know, the family farm once again going away.
Well, that's why back in the day, you know, we had bigger families.
Yeah.
And so you only needed one heir basically to take over and everyone else can do what they wanted. Now, you know, we don't even produce it at replacement level.
Yeah.
It's 1.7 per every couple basically, which is not great.
Right.
And so, you know, and in this family, they had just one son, which is kind of stereotypical of the modern day family, like one, maybe two kids.
Yeah.
If you're pushing it, you know, a boy and a girl, if you get lucky, but if not, you know, a boy, girl, whatever.
Right.
So the odds of the one out of one accepting to, I want this to be my path, especially now that there's all these other options presented are very unlikely to happen. But I agree with you. I think the family business and building up something to be able to pass on is really cool.
I completely understand the legacy idea.
I've come more around to that, you know, like I recently did a field trip to a dairy farm, which had just shut down.
Aww.
Why they were still doing tours is beyond me. Cause I'm like, if I would have known you were shut down and had zero cows here, I would not have come to your farm.
Aww.
You know, so they filed bankruptcy, but they're still doing field trips for preschools and schools.
I mean, you gotta make money.
I know. But, you know, they had about 12 show cattle that were like,
okay,
these are...
So kind of like the cattle I had.
You could feed these. And
they're a petting zoo.
Yeah, exactly. And they had a little petting zoo.
A zoo.
Yeah, there were some petting
corral.
There were some petting animals. And then they went and they showed us the, you know, the operation of a commercial milking facility with no cows. I'm like, can you not get one of those show cows to come here and like hook them up to the system? But I understand why they wouldn't, because then they have to clean the whole thing. Yada, yada, yada. So anyways, you know, it was just, it really brought home to me, like, the idea of the small family farm is dead. Mm-hmm. Everything is corporatized and these farms are being either shutting down because they can't compete or they're being bought out by these big corporations. And so, the idea that, you know, you would have a farm to pass on, really isn't, I don't know, not, it's not like it used to be 100 years ago. Anyways, this is totally unrelated to the movie.
But
it just shows that,
I guess it's just more the messaging that I was looking at.
Is
the fact that
they had to choose one way. I mean, they couldn't have it both ways. They couldn't say, pave your own path.
Right.
But then also live the legacy that I have set for you.
Right.
Both are good in their own way, but you really have to choose one or the other. And that's why I think with the LGBT stuff that he would have, that they should have made that more of an issue because then he would have had more opportunities to choose his own path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause then he really have to choose like, this is me, dad, you know, this is me. I don't want to be a farmer, you know, you know, they really just focus on the farmer aspect.
Right. I see both as being, they would be just completely different stories.
Totally.
Like I could go ahead and I could write a really great story. Maybe not a great story,
wow,
but I could write a story.
Wait, pat yourself on the back.
I could write a story that would be 100% complete about, you know, the family farm kind of thing and wanting to continue in the legacy. And you can write an entirely different one on not wanting to. Mm-hmm. And so I just, I think that we've seen a lot of the not wanting to follow.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to see one that would be like, no, I want to follow.
I wanted to go this one path and I came back and I not saw the light, but I saw the value in what had been created here. And like, I chose that, like when I never thought that I would, you know, like you think of the farmer's daughter, like it's a classic thing. Mm-hmm. There's a girl I follow from Survivor. She and her dad played together on a family season where, you know, it was a father daughter and like couples or whatever. And she was the farmer's daughter, you know, and he was the farmer and, you know, she went to college and does marketing now, you know, and it's just, that's kind of that's the way that a lot of people want is like, I don't want what you had, what I had.
Right.
I want you to have something else. And and that's like college and like a big corporate job. And it's different nowadays. But anyway, one last thing I wanted to talk about, which I briefly talked about, was just the relationship between Jaeger and Searcher. These names, they don't roll off the tongue for me. They're just so hostile to each other. They got in fights a lot and it was really difficult watching them because again, we didn't see that resentment bubble up for Searcher, you know, like, you know,
throughout the whole time, he was also like hiding resentment to his son. And every once in a while, his son in his mind would turn into his dad. And he was like, that was weird.
Okay. Yeah. So we did get those moments. He always has the resentment, but he never has the sadness or the missing or, you know, you weren't there for me moment. Just a lot of anger, which, it was interesting. And I didn't like it. Yeah. I just felt like, oh, this is just kind of icky.
There also wasn't any real change for Jaeger either.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't. Like there was no decision of you're right, son. I mean, there was
at the very end,
where
instead of going his own path again, he comes back to save the day, I guess.
But I mean, and then at the very, very
so he
end,
changes,
they're
which,
both looking out, as opposed to looking at the thing.
But I think there should have been something on Searcher's part where he gave in to the relationship with the dad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like I got that reciprocation.
Yeah. Like I was wrong as well.
Yes, exactly. Because they both were.
Yeah.
It is very clear they both were.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Anyway.
We're going to talk about Searcher's mom.
Oh, yes.
Oh, gosh. So that whole thing is just what? Oh, no.
Yeah. Why did he, it was clear. It's been 25 years, mom, or dad. To me, it was under the impression that she was married again. Why was he coming back with flowers knocking on her door?
Yeah.
I understand coming back, sort of the castaway situation where the wife has moved on and you need to meet them again so you can just close that chapter.
Right.
But I mean, coming with flowers, that's a very, I was listening to something. It's stereotypes are helpful because they help to, in our mind, we can process information very quickly through a stereotype. Yes. And someone coming to the door with flowers is a stereotype of courting.
Yes.
Right. So that was the stereotype that was presented. And I'm just whoa, why have you been alone too long that you just don't have these social cues anymore? But he gave zero indication that he was weird. He was, undomesticated,
right?
He hops right back into normal life and he's not a weirdo.
This definitely should be a Jumanji.
Yes.
Robin Williams Jumanji. I've been living
25 years alone does a major.
Yeah.
Major issues to somebody. And he had zero of those.
Yeah.
So that was a whole thing that I noticed, but also just that he goes to the wife and then the boyfriend or the husband, I don't know. They don't make it clear.
Right.
But what is going on there? No.
He gives him a giant, he's a poly or something. He's huge.
Yeah. But it just didn't make sense. I didn't get it. I didn't. What was happening there? Was she accepting him? Was because they gave him a hug.
Right. Yeah, that was weird.
Polyamorous now. Speaking of poly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that was weird. Yeah. You don't know what to expect. Mm. And that was, I think, one of the major flaws with this movie is that it was trying so hard to go along with these natural feelings that are around with the father to son situation, but they also had too many other things thrown in there that it really lost the plot. And I was actually, as we were coming out of the theater, you get to see and kind of hear what other press people are saying. And I was hearing a couple of people say that same thing, that there was just so many plots and so many things happening that I really kind of got lost.
Yeah. The word that I said to the guy was disjointed. There was too much that it was trying to be, if it would have just been the very beginning with the old comic book, the traditional adventure story and
right.
We didn't need the strange world, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We just needed a world.
And it closes and it's shows you the cover of the comic book.
Oh,
fighting corruption from the inside.
I was like, oh gosh, yet another eye roll. Okay. So the very end, basically they realize that, hey, we have been farming. We're basically a skin disease.
Yeah.
On this thing with these Brussels sprouts that we are our energy source. And it's taking all of its energy that it's causing it to basically die. Right. And it's almost plaque in the arteries situation.
Yeah.
And so, we don't get our teardrop moment, save the heart sort of thing, but they break it off and it clears itself up and it's oh, okay, cool. And the heart's back and the whole system is working together. And me thinking oh, okay, cool. Well, it took 25 years to get to this situation. We've cleaned it up. It's on a very mild side, a juice cleanse for the whole body. Yeah. We're going to clear out all the gunk and everything's going to be fresh and clean and starting new. And I'm okay, it took 25 years to to get it to this bad point.
Yeah.
Start harvesting again, start planting. and about 20 years, you'll have to do a reset.
You
got to do your cleanse again, do your detox. And hey, the best of both worlds.
Well, that was a weird thing at the end is that they still had these,
which that didn't make sense. So simultaneously they had this super advanced energy source, but then also mechanically created, things that can fly without, without propellers or motors. And so they still have that, but they're just energy is sourced in a different way,
I guess,
which we're not clear how that is.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. So he comes back and he's actually a better farmer now that he's no longer only
planting the one crop.
Oh,
every
yeah, for
year.
Sure. That's better for the
That's much better
soil.
For the soil.
More regenerative.
Yes.
Farming practices. These are the things that we've learned over time that we're like, oh, the things that our ancestors used to do.
Yeah, right.
Those were good.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why that just naturally happens that way.
Yeah. The fact is, so they've now replaced it and started doing other fruits and vegetables or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And, but they still have this power source, as you said, that we don't know where it's coming from, but you also do see the little green, like glowy thing. So they haven't completely taken this power source off.
Well, yeah, the whole power source in general was weird because they come across it in those mountains, whatever right. that was supposed to represent. That's the only time we see it. I was expecting like, oh, we're going to see this inside the body growing.
Yeah.
No. So like it would just, they just happened to stumble upon some sort of disease mm-hmm, on mm-hmm. the creature and then they multiplied it because yeah. they're a parasite.
Right.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah.
Good times. So any last thoughts?
Those are, we've gone through a lot of things about this basically at an hour and 10 minutes.
I kind of felt like some of the, you know, you mentioned Captain Planet. We talked the Lorax. It feels kind of like some of the 90s where, you know, everything yeah. was don't chop down the rainforest, you know, where there was right. just like a environment.
The loggers.
Yes, in the loggers with Fern Gully.
Like the loggers.
Yeah, you know, nowadays it's fossil fuels.
Yeah.
And it just kind of felt like, oh, we're back at the 90s, huh? Well, not that they, you know, environmental causes ever went away.
No.
They just always kind of shift. You
yeah.
Notice,
yeah,
you
know? Yeah. It's always a
the
different
thing that was going to kill us, you know, in 12 years actually uh-huh. didn't. So oh, crap, we were wrong. We got something else is going to destroy the world. So yeah, good times.
It was the loggers.
Yeah, nice. That was the problem is I felt that because of the energy situation, it was just too on the nose for me.
Yeah.
Where I just had a hard time like, okay, you know, you're going to force feed us this message.
Yeah.
You know, I can learn for myself if I like trees. To quote Chelsea way back in
episode five.
Yeah, three or five. Yeah. One. It's a classic.
It is, yes, going all the way back. But also it's like Disney just in the last 10 years has just done really well at being a mass producer of giant frying pans they want to hit you over the head with a message with. So yeah, there we go.
Yet another one, yet another frying pan for your tool belt. So it was a frying pan at the beginning and the food looked delectable.
Yes.
I really liked that they were using butter or uh-huh. I'm sure it was vegan butter, but you know, I'm very much a fan of animal fats because they're very good for your body. Opposed to vegetable oils, which are industrial waste that is very highly inflammatory. So he was using butter and then he put that bread on the pan. It was cooking.
Yeah.
And then you had the egg. I was like, I like this. So
nice.
I was a fan. I want to go make some of that right now. So, and the avocado is like, ooh, good healthy fats. Yes.
Oh, yes. Good. Yes.
So Chelsea, what would you rate it? This has been a fun discussion.
Yeah.
I'm being in person.
I feel a different vibe.
A totally different vibe. Yeah. I like it.
We've discussed this before many times of every time we do something in
yes.
person, we're like, wow, this is so much better.
This is so much better. And then we're like, oh, logistics, we got to plan.
Zoom. Hashtag life. Yeah. Here we go.
Okay. So what would you rate this film?
I mean, 2.5 stars, really. It's not something I feel like I'm going to go back to. It's not something that I feel like I really got any good vibes per se out mm-hmm. of it. It was more just like, I just kept seeing the message
mm-hmm.
and maybe that's just me. And I've like, I'm just like overly
hypercritical or yeah. hypersensitive.
It might just be me. And so I'm just like, I don't want to, the message. And so you just see it all over and I have a hard time with it. And so that's really one of my main reasons why I felt like they did a good enough job of trying to like create a cohesive story as far as like character driven.
Uh-huh.
And I appreciated the character driven aspects of it and trying to create the family dynamics and I can get behind that. But just my overall sitting vibe of like, what would I give this? It's like I give it a meh. So 2.5.
All right. I've said many times on this podcast, one word that describes this movie is disjointed. from the character designs, where it feels like from we're in Sony Land, Hotel Transylvania, and then Raya, you know, like they didn't even combine and had a baby. They just like came together and they're two separate
beings.
It's like
Kingdom Hearts, you know?
Yes, yes, exactly.
Throw them all together.
You know, it all makes sense at the end, but there's some movies where that totally works. But the problem was I didn't like being confused at what I was watching instead of being immersed into the story. You know, there's some movies where, oh, wow, like the big, you know, Sixth Sense thing at the end. It's like, oh, that all makes sense. You know, they were all dead. He's
on the
dead.
Back of a giant turtle the whole time.
You know, but like watching the movie, you're not like weirded out or just confused. And I was confused. The Strange World itself is like the low point of the movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it was weird. And then we have like the farmer aspect and the adventurer, you know, explorer aspect and the energy source and the thing is alive and it's a turtle, you know? And it didn't feel like a Disney movie at all. Having watched this and
even
looking back, yeah, it's like this was an animated movie for sure.
Mm-hmm.
If you would have said, okay, watch the trailer or even watch the movie, what studio is this? I would never have told you Disney. You know, so take it or leave it for what it is. But I won't be taking my family to see this just simply because I think it's too over their heads. It's going to be just, it's
your kids are super
not,
young.
Yeah, they are little, you know. Where's Frozen? They need ice, they need powers, they need Olaf. Like, I really understand the psychic character, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we had our blob splat, but it's a little different. Our magic carpet. So, why do we always do this? We always do the same thing, but I was thinking 3, 2.5, and that's really where I'm feeling right now, is that it's a 2.5 film, which I don't think I've ever given a Disney film with 2.5, maybe Black Cauldron.
I think we gave that one like 1.
Okay, good. Well, Don Hall, I think he was around back then too.
Oh.
As maybe the animation department, but
Don
I felt
Hahn
bad.
Was there, but
oh yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I feel bad, but I didn't have a good time.
Yeah.
There were moments for sure,
mm-hmm.
but at the end, looking back, I'm like, okay, yeah, I saw that, and I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah.
I know people are going to see it for sure.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to, you know, Thanksgiving.
And there's going to be a lot of people, there's going to be a lot of people who really love it.
Yeah, for sure.
And so like,
we also are, you know, way looking into things as far as the message and this, and, you know, being hypercritical, not necessarily in a bad way, but that's just like what you do on a podcast.
Right.
So about movies, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this does.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's interesting. We had Raya, which basically was a flop in my opinion, as far as box office, but you know, the reason why box office, but also just as far as a movie goes, it just people didn't like it. And then we had Encanto, which just was out of this world crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm trying to look back at, you know, what made Encanto different. You know, obviously Lin-Manuel Miranda and his songs. The songs are so catchy and just had so much to do with it.
There were a couple points in time where I felt like this really could have used songs.
We got one song at the beginning.
At the beginning, but there was there should have been an I Want song where Ethan comes out.
And nobody else but you.
Exactly.
You know, where they have this moment where they come together, and I kind of did. Yeah, so
like there were moments where they could have made this a musical thing, and I think that it might have helped in some ways.
Yeah, and
I know that they weren't wanting to do it that way, but
you know, you think of Encanto and it's Mirabelle's story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the family all around, and they all have
whose story do you think this was?
Searchers.
Yeah,
but at the same time, they also wanted it to be Ethan's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I guess that works.
Yeah,
you know, we have all three of them. The grandpa, but he's kind of he's just like a secondary character almost. Like, he's a main character, but compared to those two, definitely more secondary. I think it's Searcher's story.
Okay.
But maybe not. It is Searcher's story.
I think
it's Searcher's story, and
he's the only one that's there through the whole
thing. He's the tie to the dad and the son.
Yeah.
And he has to learn to accept the son for his decisions and what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Following in his dad's footsteps, which he doesn't like,
and also not repeating his dad's
messes. Yes, yes. Ah, so messy. Family relationships. Oh,
So messy.
So there you have it. Let us know what your thoughts are for this episode of the Animation Addicts Podcast, and specifically this movie, Strange World.
Uh-huh.
This has been a very interesting one. This is so fresh. I don't even know, you know, what people are thinking. It'll be interesting what critics think. It'll be interesting what the audience thinks, what our audience thinks. So let us know. Go to rotoscopers.com/278. Give us your thoughts there. That's all we have for this episode. Until next time,
we are the Rotoscopers.
All right, so this should be going.
Testing, testing. I am going to. Hello?
I mean, it looks like we're good.
It does look.
It looks
as though.
As though we are good. Okay. Well. Okay, well, we can just get started.
Okay.
Let's make some magic. Card full.
Oh, no.
Good thing I caught that right now.
Yeah. Like right as it happened?
Yeah. It's had 32 gigs on it. How are you full?
Annoying when it does that.
Okay, we're sitting here. This truck is like
that
backing
is the
up.
Worst.
Stop it. I'm watching
I
you.
I know you're fixing your spot, but I just don't like a car backing towards me.
Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm in it.
I see you.
Yeah. Flash those lights.
Yeah, I just had a whole nother tangent come to my mind. I'm going to pass over it, though.
We are the Rotoscopers.
Oh, no delay. It's glorious.
But the thing is, like, this with these, it's actually putting it right on the same thing. So it's like, we have to do this right.
Oh.
There's no nice. Way to go in and edit this one.
Nice. Okay, so what I think our title should be I'm Yukon Cornelius. Or just Yukon Cornelius.
Okay.
Yukon Cornelius. He licks the thing. Peppermint.
I need to watch that.
It's a good one. He's great.
It's coming up on Christmas time. I need to watch that again.
Yes.
Let's add that one to the list.
We need to do the ranking of the Disney CEOs like sooner rather than later.
Yes.
So I think.
You've been listening to the Animation Addicts podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and be sure to leave us a 5-star review. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you want to help spread the word, be sure to share the podcast with your friends on social media. Just don't forget to tag us at Rotoscopers on Instagram and use the hashtag AnimationAddicts. For all the links and full show notes for this episode, go to rotoscopers.com/podcast. Now, if you still can't get enough for your animation fix, be sure to subscribe to us on YouTube and visit rotoscopers.com for more animation news, reviews, and interviews. Thanks for listening.